The recordings are started.
Great. Thank you, Lance. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the SCI Sub-TV call on the 11th of February at 1700 UTC. As Julie said, we do have on the call today Lawrence Alawala-Roberts, Sarah Vaki, Wolf Ulrich, and Jean Graves, and Ignace Gleese. We have no apologies. And from ICANN staff, we have Mary Wong, Julie Hedlund, and myself, Michelle B. Snyder. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks so much, Michelle. And Anne, I can't remember what you were saying when, I think I missed what you were saying when before we started. Did you want to chair the meeting?
No, the problem is I'm asking to see if someone else could chair this particular meeting because I'm really at reduced capacity here in terms of brain power. my head is full of congestion. I've been coughing quite a bit. And so I was hoping that someone else could step up for this particular call.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm sorry that you're not feeling well, and we certainly do understand. Angie, Sarah, Wolf, Ulrich, would any of you like to step in to chair the call today? And this is Julie.
Well, it's Wolf Ulrich speaking. I'm also sorry to hear your voice in this. I'm not prepared to chair the meeting. But I could do that, a little bit more than half an hour, as I have written to you. If that is okay to you, I would do that.
Sounds good, of course.
Okay.
Fine with me.
Hello? Who was that?
Yeah, this is Anne. I'm sorry. I said that's fine with me to just go half an hour and maybe deal with one thing.
Yes. So, okay, it's what we're always speaking. So let me just start and a little bit recapitulate what we have done so far. And Julie summarized in the notes from the last meeting. We had reached a conclusion on that question whether a new council member should be eligible for council chair as well as for vice chair I think as well, yes, and we agreed that they should be eligible for that. So that is fixed. And what has to be checked, I understood, is on the one hand, how shall we deal with the procedures in this regard, the formulation of these procedures. There has been done a suggestion by Julie, by staff, and the other question was, is there a need also to modify the bylaws in any way to that or not? That was just a question. This is going to be checked by Julie then. We could start at first with that, with a suggestion on the text for the rules, and come up with that. And then we could go through the other questions which have been put up to the table coming from the mandate we have been given from the GNSO, and go through those questions point by point and think about how can we deal with those questions. And then I think one bigger point is as I understand the whole thing is related to a timetable, a timeline. We may start to discuss and with regards to the election. So with all the milestones and activities which have to be, we have to take into consideration with regards to those elections. So if there is no other proposal, I would like to just to start with the first point, with that proposal of modification of the rules. And Julie, could you just repeat, because I can't see that, or I can't find it just immediately here on the screen, what was the your suggestion to that? Please, could you just tell us? There was some.
Yeah, this is Julie. So, and I you are referring to the consensus on the last call concerning the incoming counselors and continuing counselors, that counselors should be eligible to stand for chair, and then language that was proposed for that. Is that correct, Wolf-Ulrich?
Yes, it is. So I'm just looking for the language, which I can't find, and I'm asking you, well, if you could help us here.
Indeed. Thank you very much. This is Julie Hedlund again. I have put the language that was captured in the notes that Mary took into the notes screen. It's on the right-hand side of the Adobe Connect room, but I'll put it in the chat room as well, and I'll read it off here. The possible change was to read, a candidate for GENASO Council Chair does not need to be a member of a house, but must be a continuing or incoming member of the GENASO Council. And there was a note associated with this language that we should consider how this might affect the stakeholder group constituencies' respective timetables for nomination and voting in of counselors, with a view toward informing the council/community, though without necessarily importing specific timetables for SG/C elections into the procedures.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Julie. So that's fine. These are these two questions with regard to the formulation, the phrase itself, and then the follow-up question regarding that. Today, I'm just wondering to complete our, you know, the what we are talking about. Do we have available the present? What is in the rules at present with regards to the council membership here? What is the?
Yes, this is Julie. I do have that. So actually, what I do have is the officer elections, and I had put that in what I'd sent to the list. Let me see if I can pull that language here. It does say in 2.2 officer elections, chairs and vice chairs, the GENASO Council shall select the GENASO chair and two vice chairs as follows. A GENASO chair shall be elected by 60% vote of each house. Then it says, B, each house will be allowed to nominate one candidate for GENASO Council chair. Each house is responsible for determining how to nominate its candidate. A candidate for GENASO Council chair does not need to be a member of a house, but must be a member of the GENASO Council.
And oh, yes.
We are alterating that slightly by saying, but must be a continuing or incoming member of the GENASO Council.
Yes, okay, I saw that. Thank you very much. And Mary was also putting that to the chat. So that's just the different. Well, it's to my mind is better clarification on what we would like to see is that she or he must not only be a member of the council, but a continuing or incoming member. So just pointing out and make it very clear that all members of the council may be incoming or incumbent councillors should be eligible. So I put this as a question here to the round, whether there are any concerns with such a phrase or clarification or any question to that, or if there are any questions, please raise your hands. I don't see anything. So, and any question with regard to that. So I would say that we take this as a proposal to our report to the SCI, and then continue with the discussion. Thank you. So the next one is really, so the note is with respect to the timeline on that, and I'm asking myself how we should deal with the timeline, because there are other points as well affecting the timeline. It's not just this is one, you know, the that incoming and present counselors should be eligible, but there are other things with respect to publication and nomination itself and all these things, and I wonder whether we should put that as one issue for with regard to the timeline when it comes to the discussion of the timeline. That would be my proposal to do so, and that we then go further on, continue with the remaining points to be discussed. And then also mention under the discussion whether those points have an influence and impact on the timeline and in which respect. And the timeline is really where all these things should be put together. So that's my proposal to do so. So I don't see any comment. When I read the chat, I think it was also, and Mary points out correctly, that with regards to timeline, there are different perceptions or different timelines in the various stakeholder groups and constituencies, and they may be impacted as well. So we should take that into consideration when it comes to the timeline discussion. So then let's take the next point. It is the question under number two. Let me just read that. Is there a gap to be addressed when the vice chair's terms end at the same time as that of the chair, and no chair is conclusively elected by that time, which have been the case the last time here? See section 2.2f, there is described this procedure at the time being for the vice chairs to serve as interim chairs until a successful election can be held. If a new chair is not elected by the conclusion of the ICANN annual general meeting, at which her term, their term, I think the term of the vice chair is meant here, ends. However, the procedures are silent as to what happens when one or both vice chairs' terms also end and that particular ICANN annual, at that particular ICANN annual general meeting. So to fully understand what is meant here in the process, if you look at the terms of the chair and the vice chair, so the terms end at the time being at the annual meeting. That is, I understand, is fixed in the procedures. And on the other hand, we say that the vice chairs should be in place as long as a chair is not elected. So there may be a gap in between. So what I understand, which was the case the last time, because Jonathan's terms ended, and we did not, during the following meeting, did not elect a new chair. And then the vice chairs had to take over, but there was at least one, I think, which term was also ending at that time. So the question is, so how should we handle that? and was writing something in the chat. That is, should there be a provision to extend the term of the vice chairs in the case where a chair is not immediately elected? This would be a temporary extension to the term of the vice chairs. So that could be is one question here. Julie and Mary, may I ask you just to comment on that, because Julie was commenting on Anne's question.
Yeah, this is Julie. Anne had asked the question, should there be a provision to extend the term of the vice chairs in the case where a chair is not immediately elected? This would be a temporary extension. The current procedures state that in the event that the GNSO Council has not elected a GNSO Council chair by the end of the previous chair's term, the vice chairs will serve as interim GNSO co-chairs until a successful election can be held. This does not, however, address what happens if the vice chair's terms are also ended. As Mary notes, might help, but it wouldn't fully solve the problem since the vice chairs are elected by their SGs and Cs. So if their terms end, then the extensions would have to be done by the SGs and Cs, not by the council or the procedures, I think.
Yes, thanks, Julie. And also, Anne is asking, in addition, well, could operating procedures delay that election of vice chairs where chair has not been elected? I would say, in theory, yes, but the question here is really if the vice chair's terms there are two terms could happen. I understand. The one is it's the council member who owns the vice chair term, and this term is going to be ended as vice chair. And there could be also happen that the member who is a vice chair, the member's term is going to end. And what is happening in this case, I wonder whether this question is addressed as well. Yeah.
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie. I don't think that question, as far as I can tell, is addressed in the procedures, which is the issue here. Is part of the issue here that if both of the vice chair's terms end, then there is no provision in procedures for how to address that. But I'm sorry, Mary has her hand up, and I did not put my hand up. I apologize.
No question. Mary came after you with her hand. I saw that. But nevertheless, well, Mary, please.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich, and thanks, Julie. And Wolf Ulrich is absolutely right. My hand went up after you had started speaking, and so it was meant as a follow-up to your point, and the fact is that practically speaking, the vice chair will almost certainly be elected after a chair is elected, simply because I think there is a rule that the chair and the vice chair can't be a member of the same stakeholder group. And so unless and until you know who is a chair, you wouldn't necessarily be able to elect a vice chair, at least that particular group or house where the chair for that year is, would probably not be able to do their vice chair election. So where we would be is where we might end up now, which is that you would have vice chairs who essentially would hold office for less than a year if their terms actually end at the following October meeting, because then the earliest that they can be elected is, you know, the preceding October or November. So that brings us back, I think, to the SGNC problem that we've been chatting about. Hopefully that clarifies and doesn't make things more confusing. Thanks, Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks very much, Mary. Yes, that's that's right. So we have still this SGC problem, and especially in the non-contracted parties house as well. But formally, you are right. So is it? So I'm just wondering. In theory, would it be possible to nominate or to elect the vice chairs before the chair is going to be elected? I understand that argument which you're bringing up is, well, we have this rule that the chair who comes, who could come, is not necessarily, but who could come from one of the houses, shouldn't be in the same stakeholder group as the vice chair from that house, yes. So there's one exception in case the one nominating appointee is going to be elected. So there is not this condition. So in this respect, well, it makes sense, well, to have the chair election before the vice chair election, unless we would have a kind of, let's say, mechanism, because discussions about who is going to be elected and nominations are being done before that election. So the houses could think about, or the members, council members could think about the vice chair position by knowing the nominated persons as well, and then maybe we could come to a conclusion. It's just theory, so to find a way, well, to nominate or to come up with vice chair names in advance. I'm just more in theory than in practice. We have to think over all these cases, but there are several choices, I think, so. When I read in the chat here, are there, I would like to, because I'm not that fit well in reading in parallel the chat when I'm talking. So if somebody of you have some comment to that, if you could repeat that by raising your hand, that would be helpful as well.
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie. I'm happy to just note some of the things that are in the chat, if that's helpful.
Yes, please, Julie. Do.
So Anne has noted, you know, perhaps the SGs and Cs could agree to allow an extension of elected vice chair terms as a contingency to cover the issue of the chair election not being final. In other words, they could agree in advance by agreeing to new operating procedures that perhaps relates to what you had just mentioned, Wolf Ulrich, where at least we could consider in theory whether or not it would be helpful for the SGs and Cs to come up with vice chair names in advance of the chair election, so one then could presumably quickly follow with the vice chair elections. And I had just noted in the chat, as Mary also mentioned, the procedures state that each house shall select a council vice chair from within its respective house. And the issue is that the procedures also say a chair may not be a member of the same stakeholder group of either of the vice chairs.
Mm-hmm.
So that really does then lead to the, you know, to the necessity of having a chair election followed by a vice chair election. And then Anne asks in the chat, if terms of sitting vice chairs are automatically extended to cover a situation where the chair election is not conclusive, then the X terms of vice chairs could end immediately on the election of a chair.
Mm.
Of course, this depends on holding the chair elections first. Yes, we really have a little bit of a conundrum here.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Julie. Well, I think, you know, we should, and I wouldn't like, well, I did just start to complicate things, I think, so, and I wouldn't do that. So, so for me, so thinking how we handle it at present, it would be favorable, let me say, in, to have a continuation in procedural things. That means, in case, if there is no council chair is elected at that meeting, then the incumbent vice chairs should follow up as long as possible, as long as needed. We should only think about then cases if there is some obstacle against doing that, and what could be that obstacle. The one thing is that you say, okay, or from the procedure it comes that their terms might end at this meeting as well. So, if they are still, they will still be council members for the next time. So for the next term of the council, then I think it's easy to say. Let them do this job until a vice chair is going to be elected. And we should fix that in the rules. It's more a formal thing. The other thing would be if one of those council vice chairs is going to leave the council because his term is going to end, then there should be also be something, some provision by the related house, in this respect, well, to have somebody or somebody available, or even only the remaining incumbent vice chair should continue until a chair is going to be elected. Well, that could be also something we should think about. But I see Mary's hand. Please, Mary.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. This is Mary Wong again from staff. So trying to sort of think through the possibilities as you've outlined them, and Julie and I have been talking a little bit about this, it seems that the problem is a very specific and limited one, because in many cases, where the vice chair or vice chairs are continuing members of the council, then the problem doesn't arise at all, because then they would just step up and be the interim chairs until a new chair is elected. So it's a very sort of limited problem, which is when the vice chair's terms end, and so you kind of have that gap where there's no one to step up to take the leadership. So in that respect, maybe there's two specific things that we can think about in recognizing that this is really just a singular problem. One is that, as the point I made in the chat earlier, was that we probably want to be very careful that neither council nor the operating procedures take over the roles of the SGs and Cs, because they are the ones that elect their councillors, so they really have the say as to who those representatives should be. Mm-hmm. In that regard, then where the vice chair, where one or two vice chairs, one or both vice chairs can't continue because their term ends, you might want to consider something like, okay, if we're just talking about this specific situation, then the council shall agree on an interim chair or interim chairs, one from each house, and make it very clear if we're making this recommendation that the interim chair really is for this specific purpose and until a chair is elected and has no other implication or consequence whatsoever. So that's one suggestion for, you know, dealing with this problem, and there are probably going to be other suggestions that if we think more deeply about it, we can come up with. The other thought we had was to look at the timeline for each SG and C and to see whether or not that would affect any of this discussion. So, for example, you know, and I know we've already started the timeline discussion for the chair election, because even if we have a rule that says, you know, you can be an incoming councillor, we have to, you know, kind of get the SGs and Cs to note that so that they have all the elections done by the time the nomination opens. So I don't know if this will have an impact on the vice chair issue as well, but it may be something to look at in that regard as well. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, who is speaking? Thanks very much. Well, it's well, I think that is a good step and good point. Well, to discuss. I really see that we should do it as simple as possible. And as you say, an issue of secondary importance, I would say. And the issue just only rises in case a chair is not going to be elected, which, well, openly speaking, is not a target of any election, let me say, or it just could happen. It's just a possibility. And for this possibility, it's just a question of continuation. From your option you raised and what you have discussed, I would say, well, the first one is really seems to me a good one to think about. Well, to leave it to the SGs and Cs in order, well, to decide who should be the one. It could be the existing one, so it could be other ones, well, to take that lead for just this purpose. The question is then how it should be done formally, if you go that way. We did it the last time, I think, just by, wasn't that done by acclamation, if I understand that correctly, and it was just the question of this formal point, since the term has been ended, but there was an agreement by the vice chairs, by David and Volker, that they did that job. So my question is that then, if we come to that point to say, well, okay, it should be a kind of formal election or what else, or nomination of these interim chairs, then how to deal with that? So. Did I repeat that correctly as you mentioned, or are there other things where we should take into consideration here? And the question is then, what could we suggest to the SEI and then to the council? Is there any other point to take into consideration in this regard? Otherwise, I would suggest, well, Mary, if you could just, well, for the next time or for the put to the list these options you just explained, and then we could ask for comments on the list and then put it in writing in order, well, to put that into our report as a suggestion. I see Anne. Anne, please.
So, hi, Wolfowitz, this is Anne. I've been chatting because it's hard for me to talk, but I thought I should just raise the chat discussion that Mary and I are having. I think Mary had mentioned how important it was to respect the election process that's followed by each of the stakeholder groups and advisory groups in the election of vice chair, but I keep wondering why it wouldn't be possible to make a change in the operating procedures. It says that, you know, when you elect a vice chair for a term, that vice chair's term may be extended for a short period of time if the election results for the chair aren't final, so that the vice chair elected for a particular term, that term could continue, be extended solely by the operating procedures until that point in time where the chair is finally elected, and then that vice chair's term immediately ends for purposes of having the newly elected vice chairs take office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mary suggested there's a problem with that, and I'm sure she understands the rules better than I do, but I'm not understanding in the chat exactly what would be wrong with having the operating procedures extend the vice chair's term and having all the SOs and all the stakeholders agree that that would happen if the vice chair term could be extended for a short period of time for that very reason.
Mm. Thanks. Thanks, Anne. Well, before turning to Julie, I would like to suggest, well, if Mary, if you could put these both, let me say, both opinions, well, just on the list here, so that we have that in to continue that and to come to an opinion on both points here, the one from Anne and yourself, and then we could, I think we if you put that better one to each other, then we could think about and could come to a conclusion afterwards. But before I have to leave, so in 2 minutes, I'm sorry about that. Julie, please.
Just very quickly, I think part of the confusion, perhaps, with the procedures is that there is the vice chair's term, which the procedures do say a vice chair can continue if there is no chair elected. The vice chair's term is not an issue. The counselor's term on the council, if that ends, that cannot be extended.
Yes.
That person is term delimited. So, and there's also the issue if there needs to be an extension, that would require a bylaws change. It can't be addressed in the operational procedures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks, Julie. Well, that's exactly the point. So, if the present vice chairs are going to continue over the next term, then there is really not a problem. Well, to let them continue until the election of the chair, and but if they have to leave because their council term ends, then this is a problem we have to solve. I would like to. So I personally, well, really, I have really to leave that. Could we do that? That you just put some points which you discussed well to the notes, put it to the list, and should continue in a weekly way. Well, with discussion, with meetings here, to come to report, because we have other points as well to discuss. And I wouldn't like to let these SCI wait for long term with regards to our point, because it shall be discussed at the SCI at the end as well. So that's my. So you will capture those points, Julie. I see that. Thank you very much. Let's just talk about the next meeting. What about next week? We have now is Thursday today. Is that a good day? Well, to meet for that and this time.
Yeah, it's a good time.
And I would say it's just my suggestion is just to do it next week, same time. Is that okay? Any
That sounds good. Angie and Sarah, are you?
Okay. There's no objection to that. So let's fix it for this. That works. So, thank
okay.
you. Okay, thank you very much. Well, I'm sorry about that, but I think we have started with that, and so we will come back also on the list, and then we'll be prepared for the next meeting. So thank you very much, and see you next week.
Many thanks for Flourish.
Thanks.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Week. Thank you, Steph. Bye-bye.
Right.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks so much for Flourish. Thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week, same time.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Let's be done.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Thank you. Today's meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings and remember to disconnect all the remaining lines.